Welcome to Section 9, where we talk about IT and information security. I'm Damian Hull.
And I'm Dorothy. And today we're going to be talking about our business idea and planning for services or solutions. So we decided that we're just going to do our own business. And so if you had to go to a client and explain to them why they need security when they're not aware that they're not secure or they don't understand security, talk about our plan of how we're going to do this.
Yeah, and so we're trying to do this for ourselves as well, where we talk about the first six critical security controls, and we are building a security program based on those. And so that's kind of what I want to do for the business. And we're going to talk about the first three critical security controls today, and we're going to look at how we can build services around this. So when we go to a client and they say, okay, what do we need to do to be secure? Then we can say, here are some best practices. And we can begin to have that conversation about what makes an organization safe and secure.
So I'm a client. Why do I need these critical security controls? Explain that to me.
So these are going to be best practice. These are really the things that are going to help keep you safe and secure. And we've talked about this before, where you have people in security that think things like a pen test is needed, or you have to do things like a packet capture. Well, how does that help the client? How does that help keep the client safe and secure? You're showing them things that they're not really going to understand, and you're doing things that may not help them achieve security. Like if I do a pen test and say, hey, you're vulnerable and walk away, well, you're still vulnerable. I haven't given you any steps to make you more secure.
Okay, now you're telling me I need this to be more secure. So how do I even implement this thing? How would I even know to go about this?
And so that's where our services come into play. So let's talk about the first three critical security controls. You have inventory of hardware, inventory of software, and then you have your vulnerability management and updates. So on inventory of hardware, we're going to be looking at what hardware does the client have in terms of network equipment, servers, workstations, laptops, mobile devices. And so you want to take a look at the network and try to scan for these things. You can use things like Nessus, Nmap. We've talked about these things before. Then we have a new stuff, LandSweeper, PDQ inventory. And you can also look at your DHCP logs, because that's going to have information in there about what devices on the network are looking for a DHCP address. And so you can use those to help you figure out what's actually on the network. And we can begin to help organizations, or if we have a client, say, here are some things that you can use to help you find out what you have on your network if you don't already know what you have. And in places where you have, you know, hundreds of workstations or laptops or mobile devices, that may be tricky to do. They may not have an inventory of that stuff. And so that's where we come into play. We can help them with this kind of thing. And there's going to be testing involved in all of this to make sure that we understand how to use these tools, how they work, whether or not they're going to be a good solution, because things like LandSweeper and PDQ inventory, those are new things to me. So I'm going to have to go through some testing and find out, are these things going to work for us and others? And then when we get to inventory of software, we have Sumo, which is what we're using, and then you have PDQ inventory. And PDQ inventory is more of a software solution, in that it's going to look at what software you have on a particular system. So it's not really for hardware inventory, but you could use it in that situation if it actually tells you, you know, the host name of a system. And so then you would say, okay, within PDQ inventory, we have these, you know, 100 workstations. I think we have at least 100 workstations, maybe more, but that gives you some information about what you have. And then you can also use it to figure out what software you have as well. And then when we get to the third one, where we do vulnerability management and updates, we have PDQ deploy. And this is the one that's going to install your third-party applications. Things like maybe Google Chrome. It's going to install things like Java. And then you can also use that as part of your patch management process. If I need to update Java, I can use PDQ deploy to push out those updates. And then we have Nessus, which is going to give you your vulnerabilities. It's going to show you what those are. And then we have Windows update settings. So in our case, what we're doing is we're using Sumo to see what software we have and make sure those are up to date. And then we're using the Windows settings to make sure that our Windows systems automatically get updated at a particular time, so that we have updates for both our operating system and our third-party applications. And that's how we're going to keep ourselves safe and secure with not necessarily vulnerability management, because we don't have Nessus yet. But as long as we're patching things, that's going to be a huge step in the right direction. And we can also tell that to others as well. If you don't have something like Nessus, that's okay. As long as you're doing your updates and making sure things the patches are actually installed, you should be okay. But again, we have to test all of this. So do you have any questions before I get into the testing piece?
Well, you know, to me, it would be like, it's really nice to hand somebody a report and say, you know, this is the things that you need. We can show you how to implement them. And, you know, these are the things that you need to do to maintain. And now your IT department needs to maintain those. What if their IT department doesn't know how or doesn't understand it? How are you going to tactfully tell a client, you know, your IT department needs to do this? And are you going to say, and this is how they do it? Or you're just going to let them assume their IT department knows?
No, what you can do is you can say, we can help you deploy these things because maybe you don't have the necessary people to be able to do this. And a lot of smaller organizations, which we're really going to be focusing on those smaller organizations, because large organizations are going to have, you know, a larger IT department. They may have somebody who does security. They may have a team of people that do security. So in those cases, while we may be able to offer something, it's going to be harder for us to provide something for those organizations because they already have the expertise. Smaller organizations, which I've been a part of for years, oftentimes they don't have enough people, they don't have enough resources in terms of technology or money. And so you end up in a situation where they struggle. And part of it is because they don't have enough skills. You know, when you're in IT and you run into this all the time, there are so many things you can do in IT, so many things you can learn: Linux, Windows, Cisco, Juniper, network engineering versus system administration. So when you have two people in IT or three people in IT, you may be missing certain skills because not one, you know, one person can't know them all. And how do you fix that in a small organization? It's hard to try to say you're going to go hire somebody who does security because they're going to ask for a lot of money.
So will you be offering the service of, we will implement it for you and show you how to use it and then you're on your own? Or are you going to offer the service of, we will do this, implement it and maintain it?
Well, those are some things that we have to take into consideration. What I would like to see is for organizations to you know, hire us to help them understand what their security needs are. And then we offer these other options and say, we can help you take care of your updates. We can help you show you how to do that. We can help you with your inventory. We can show you how to do that. And then if they need other things, those are things we're going to have to take into consideration. Because once you say you're going to maintain something, well, what does that actually mean? And with only two of us here, maintaining something like that is going to be a bit of a tricky situation. You know, do I come in once a month and take a look at things? Am I there as a backup? You know, how does that work? And what is the, you know, in those kind of situations, you should have like some sort of SLA, service level agreement, where you specify what it is you're actually providing. Because if they say, we need you 24/7, well, we can't provide that. There's only two of us. And so those kinds of things are things I would like to provide. And one reason why...
I'm just saying there are things to think about when it comes up to putting the plan together.
Yeah, and one reason why those things are good to offer is because maybe they pay you a monthly fee. And for that monthly fee, I hate to say this, but this is kind of the way business works, you're not always going to do a lot.
And no, but so, I mean, you can be there and, you know, for a fee a month, you can be available when something happens, then you can be there.
Well, but that's something you have to take into consideration too. Are you going to be available when the bad thing happens? And how do you specify that in your SLA? So some of these things can be really tricky. Like when you buy internet service, you buy internet service from a company that's run by five people and the five people happen to be out sick. When you have internet issues, well, you're going to drop them and go to somebody else. It's tricky to offer certain kinds of services where, you know, they expect you to be there at a certain time.
Okay, well, these are some of the things that we need to think about. But anyway, you were going to talk about testing. How are you going to test this? We came up with some really good, solid processes for some of our things, and they seem to be working really well. So we have new things that you're looking into to be able to expand on what we can do. How are you going to be testing these things?
So this is some of the stuff that I've talked about in the past, where I have to clean up our network. We need to get our virtualization environment set up again. We need to get rid of our VMware server, because we played around with that. We're not VMware experts. I'd like to try something else to see if it works for us. Eventually, we may go back to VMware, but that has to be taken care of. And then I have to think about, you know, what does the client environment look like? One thing we haven't talked about is Macs. Some people may have those. So that's, you know, kind of off the beaten path there for us, because we're not Mac people. But it's something that we're going to have to look into in the future. But on the Windows side, they're typically going to have a Windows domain. They're going to have maybe Windows 10 workstations. So we're going to have to get something like Server 2016. We're going to have to set up domains. We're going to have Windows 10 clients on those domains. And then we can test things like PDQ deploy, PDQ inventory, LAN sweeper. We can use Nessus with credentialed scans that we get out of Active Directory. So those are some things that, you know, they have to be done. And what's going to be interesting is how we set everything up and how we document all of that and how we come up with a plan to say, this is how we use PDQ deploy. And yes, it works well for us. It's going to work well for our clients.
Okay, so what about concerns? What kind of concerns do you have when it comes to securing data? Because, you know, those are issues.
Yeah, one of the things that I recently ran into is a SANS webinar, and they had some really good information in there. And they were talking about, first they talked about GDPR, which is that law in Europe where even though I'm in the US, if I hold, let's say, for example, you're in the EU, and you come to my website and I collect some data from you, whatever that happens to be. The GDPR law says you can call me back and you can ask me to get rid of that data. I'm supposed to be able to do that. So I have to have a process for that. But then there's another thing that people aren't too sure what to make of yet, because it hasn't really happened yet. If I have a cybersecurity breach, you know, hackers get in somehow, and they're accessing data, I'm supposed to report that within 72 hours. I may contact somebody in the EU and I may say, hey, I had a breach. This is what happened, blah, blah, blah. Here's my report. But I have to do that within 72 hours. And the way they presented this in this little webinar is they said, when does the clock actually start? Does it start when you discover that you've been hacked? And then you have 72 hours? Or what happens if they do an investigation and they find out that you were hacked 6 months ago? Did I just violate that 72 hours?
And what was their answer?
They're not entirely sure, because nobody has had this happen yet.
I mean, how can you report something you're not aware of? That's the thing. I mean, I can see if they can look in your network and realize, hey, you had a warning, or, you know, your logs are telling you, or you got an email and you totally disregarded because you didn't read it because you were somewhere else for 3 weeks. You know, I can understand that you're responsible for that. And as a security expert, you're supposed to be checking on those things. But if it's something that you're not aware of, I would think that the reasonable thing would be to start the clock for you when you are aware of.
Okay, so...
if somebody gets aware of it before you do, what?
So here's what I want you to think about. If it's your data, and let's say it's really important data, maybe it's like your medical records or your credit card information or something like that, something that you find valuable and you don't want anybody else to see it, when would you want me to know when the hack happens? Would you want me to know the hack happens a year from when it actually happened, or when it actually happened?
It doesn't matter when I would want you to. We had our retirement records hacked.
Okay.
And we They didn't tell us for over a year.
Okay, so when would you have liked to be notified?
The minute it happened, of course. But you know what, though? Go ahead.
That's what they're trying to get at with these different laws. They're trying to force organizations to be proactive about their security. It's no longer okay for organizations to do what yours did, which is to say, when we get to it, we'll find out that we've been hacked. And, you know, when we get to it, we're going to let you know, which is pretty much what everybody does these days. You know, when I find out that you got hacked, I will take the time necessary
to tell
you.
Well, even when they do, I mean, what is the part that where they're responsible for it? Look at Equifax. They got a slap in the hand. I mean, I guess for me, it would be like this. If I was in the security business, I would want to put some process in place that would prevent me from finding out 6 months from now, which means for me, I need to look at my logs. Those SANS training cheat sheets that we have, those are very useful for that. So if I have a process on how to do some of those things and I, you know, unless it's something beyond my control, like rootkit or something I cannot see, I should be able to at least do my basic, you know, usage of the tools that I have.
And that's exactly what we should be doing.
Otherwise we have no business in the security business.
That's exactly what all organizations should be doing. But here's the problem. Having worked in small organizations, and we just talked about this, they don't have the necessary resources to be able to do a lot. You know, they may have two or three people in IT who don't understand security. They may not have the funding to do certain things. And so the question that comes up is, how do you help a small organization figure out that they've been hacked when they don't have the necessary skills and resources to be able to do that? And that's why when I look at the things that are on the first six critical security controls, and today we're talking about the first three, these things are going to help an organization stay safe and secure, or I should say more secure. And as we defined security as being the process of reducing risk to an acceptable level, that's what the first six controls are going to help them do. It's not necessarily there to help them identify when something goes wrong. Control six, which we don't have on our list because we're doing the first three, that's where you get into logging. And that's where you look at the logs. And so one of the things I'm doing right now is trying to figure out, how do you help an organization that doesn't understand these things do something like logging? That's hard to do because you want to say, okay, I'm an IT department of two, three people, and we have, you know, 200 workstations, 20 servers. How do we manage all of that? How do I look at the logs for all of that? So some of these things are, you know, when you look at that 72-hour reporting requirement, what they said in the SANS thing is like, we're not entirely sure what to make of some of these things because, one, it really hasn't happened yet. You know, not enough people have been taken to court over these kinds of things. Not enough people have been fined for these kinds of things. And so we're not really sure what to make of this. But the more I do my training and watch these SANS webinars, like one of the things they pointed out is that California is going to have a new law for cybersecurity where it also has a 72-hour reporting requirement as well. Things are beginning to change where these things are going to be required.
And see, here's the thing. I've been around longer than you, let's put it this way. And I sat in there looking at organizations having to deal with the fact that they need to use computers to survive and they're resistant and they don't understand it and they're fearful of their technology. And that wasn't part of their business plan. You know, they started as a mom and pop store and all of a sudden they need to, you know, implement these things, you know, and that's scary. So now they have to depend on some other firm and they have to dish out this money to be able to do that. And I think that the tough thing is right now, as things evolve, you're going to have those people that are fearful of technology and they're going to be left behind. And then you're going to have the people that are like, I better learn this or, you know, I'm not going to be able to survive in this environment. So if you were to open up a business today, part of your business plan should be, implementing this thing from the get-go, trying to figure out what your most important data is and put those safety things in place so you would have at least an inkling of something is going wrong or some user is in your network that shouldn't be. You know, you should have an IT department that can identify the basics. Someone has logged into, I created a user on our network and it shouldn't have happened. Somebody has plugged in a rogue device and it shouldn't have happened. So if you have inventory of your hardware, inventory of your software, you're looking at your logs because that should be basic IT, then I think you're going to be better off. So, you know, it is a really difficult because we're in the place where security is becoming more crucial every day. People are getting savvier about, you know, disrupting and taking business down and retirement accounts and savings accounts. So, you know, it's a different game now.
It is. And I think the people who create these laws, you know, they may not understand security because they're in politics, but, you know, they're trying to say, what can we do to force organizations to take security seriously? And I think that's what's kind of happening here. Some of the laws are maybe a little bit goofy, but we as security professionals have to understand some of these things. And then anybody who's doing business today has to take these into consideration because you may be in that situation where you have to comply. And if you don't comply, well, what's going to happen? You know, are you going to get fined? Is your business going to go under? And so what the SANS people were saying, what, you know, in this webinar, they basically said that there are some unknowns here because, like I said before, these things haven't happened yet. But what they would like for people to do is to be at least somewhat prepared so that when you go and report these things or when somebody finds out that you've been hacked and they notify you and you now have to report that you've been hacked, at least you can go to whatever organization you have to report this to and say, we've been hacked. Here are the things that we have done. We've done the first six critical security controls. We patch. And in the case of Equifax, one of the issues that they're having is that they're not looking too good because it looks like they weren't taking security seriously.
They're not. They take our data whenever they want to, however they want to. And, you know, for Pete's sake, have the decency to secure it. And most people, when they report that there was a hack, there are fines that come with that. Have they paid anything?
Yeah, so those are things that you know, we have to pay attention to. But in terms of what we're trying to do, I think that what the SANS people said in that webinar is really important to make sure that if you're an organization that's doing business today, and something happens, you have a plan. You can go to whoever you have to report this to and say, here are the things that we did to make sure something really bad didn't happen, but we got hacked anyway. Better for you to say you tried to do something than say you didn't do anything.
And then say, and this is how they get in and this is what we're doing.
That's what we're going to try to do is help organizations understand these things and try to figure out how do you help organizations do things like report a breach within 72 hours. That's a lot of work. I mean, how do you do that? So those are things that we're going to be focusing on. And then, you know, future things that I'd like to try to at least think about, because it's something that security professionals talk about. And this is kind of a ding on the industry because the industry says you should have these things, but they're not really telling people how to do this. The first thing is your two-factor authentication. They say you got to have that. But then they walk away and nobody says how you're supposed to provide yourself with two-factor authentication. So that's something I'm also looking into. And then we also want to make sure that we don't forget about your disaster recovery plan, that we have a process for that. We can take the one that we have for ourselves. We're going to tweak that a bit because it's not perfect. And once we tweak that, we can take what we do here for ourselves at Section 9 and provide that to others and say, hey, we can also help you with your disaster recovery process.
And also, we did look into the Google two-factor authentication if we lost our phones on how to get into our Gmail.
Yeah, and so what you're going to be doing is you're going to be telling me what I need to do for an emergency situation, And right now I'm in an emergency situation because I don't have a process. So you're going to tell me what my initial process is going to be. And then we're going to evaluate all the other options to figure out which ones are going to be best for us. And it may be a combination of things.
Yeah, and we'll have a show about this.
Yeah. So is there anything else you want to add?
No, you?
No, I think this is going to be a lot. I've got a lot of testing to do. It's going to be interesting to see what we get out of all of this. So if you have any comments or questions, you can email us at info@section9.us. And if you want to take a look at our show notes, we'll have a lot of things in there this time around. You can go to osnap.section9.us. And thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.